reading. And I said, yeah, I had intended to give you this, but I said, I'd like you to read this instead. And I really don't know why I gave him this. And then I was looking over it, and now I remember why I gave it to him, because there were some relevant doctrines here toward the end regarding degeneracy. But then as I backed up, I was reminded of something else, and that's what I'd like to bring to your attention this morning. This is a detour, which we're used to doing anyway. You remember we began with 1 Kings chapter 20. We've detoured now for a while to the doctrine of freedom, and we were going to take a departure and go on into the area of moral and immoral degeneracy. And so we're going to subcategorize it a little bit further. Brian mentioned Gene, and as I was sitting there, I was thinking about the fact that Brian is really an extensional part of the ministry of Westside Bible Church, whether he realized it or not. And I never looked at it that way. Because you see, all of that really began here in Nucleus many, many years ago. Harlan Bible Church would not have existed in Conway had it not been the fact that a young man came in here quite disgruntled and absolutely annoyed. And since it is Sunday morning, I will not add any more expletives to it, but it could be rather, well, it was. You think of a few, don't think of too many. I want you to stay in fellowship. But it was that bad. He, in effect, said, who does this guy think he is telling me that I'm wrong in the areas of my moral degeneracy, what it boiled down to. He was impressed with himself. He was quite arrogant. He was quite cocky. And, of course, the Word began to take hold in his life. And after about 3 or 4 years, and he and his family, they finally went back. To make a long story short, the result, of course, was the formation, foundation of that particular local assembly that is very, very supportive of Glenhaven Youth Ranch. The ranch itself is certainly not the direct result, but an indirect result of the existence of Conway and Harlan Park Bible Church, since it did have within its doors and walls and roof the very people that were interested in young people. You know, as I was thinking about that too, when we discuss and think about the doctrine of freedom, we've got to remember that Glenhaven Youth Ranch is doing a tremendous duty to our country in the fact that by straightening kids out, by telling them where it's at, by letting them know what life is all about and the true meaning of life and the relevancy of life and the time in which they live with all of the peer pressure and all of the difficulties, how doctrine is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. It is as applicable today as it was in the time in which it was written, and they've got to know that, and that's the task of these men and women that are working with those young people. Yeah, this is going to be a great week at camp because, you see, there's going to be that overflow and the combination and the integrating of minds and spirit and understanding and wisdom and all the rest that goes with it. We have some of the greatest individuals throughout the country, including Brian. Bob Childress, the coordinator... There's none better. He may not think so, and others might not, but we're related. Speaking of that, by the way, you'll notice how well the children sat. I wonder if a Miller on one side, a Miller on another, and one in the middle had a difference. I think it plays a very important part. And you've got it covered from all ends. Here's the passage that I'd like to challenge you with this morning. When Gene left here, I wondered about what's going on there. And I wasn't nosy, and I'm not, of course, an intrusive individual. When our children left our family, we said, it is now your family, and you will develop on the basis of your own likes and dislikes and your own wills. Up to that point, of course, they had no will. It was mine and their mother's. Well, they thought they did, but we worked that out. Sometimes with pain and suffering. On both parts, by the way. And so when I finally got word as to what was going on and the fact that things were really going along, this is how this passage applies. Look at verse 4 of 2 John. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. There's no greater thrill for anyone that has had anything to do with a person's life than to see that what that person is doing is a perpetuation of what that person has said. You teachers, for example, the greatest thing that you can see in your children as they leave you is to have taken hold of those principles that you try to drive into their minds and impress upon their frontal lobes over those period of years. And the greatest joy that you can receive is when you see that in their lives. Bob has told me repeatedly that he has had students that are now adults and married, and they'll come to him and they'll say, "Hello, Mr. Childress," and they'll start to tell him of what an influence he had on their lives. And that, I know, gives him encouragement to go another 40 or 50 years. When I was teaching, and kids would come to me and they would say to me, "Hi, Mr. Miller, I want you to meet my husband, and here's my little one." And I can remember when they were in the sixth grade when I had the opportunity to teach them. And you'd look at that one and you'd say to yourself, is anything that I'm saying getting through that one? And I wonder that about some of you, but I'm encouraged. Because from time to time, little lights go on. They may be only about 10 watts, but anyway, they burn brighter as the years go on. And so when I heard that things were going great and things were going right, I was pleased. And then, of course, as I said before, and I think it's a necessary part of our understanding, that Glenhaven Youth Ranch is, in fact, an extension of any church where they have any idea of the importance of teaching young people the principles of the Word of God, so that they can have impact and dynamic and purpose and some meaningful relationship with the world. You see, the preservation of this country is based on the fact that young people one day are going to take it over. And that's right. You know, we're not going to be around too much longer. We are promised 70, and that's not much. You say, well, under modern medicine, we can go to 70 or 80. What's that, 80 years? Then the next generation comes on the scene, and then the next, and the next. Psychiatrists and psychologists and those who examine the worldview are not very impressed. They're rather scared. They're in almost abject depression with regard to the fact that they have to turn over the mantle, as it were, to the next generation. Well, those of us who had that as a burden got involved, for example, in Westside Private School. That was one of the basic reasoning behind the whole thing. That was the undermining motivation. I wasn't going to offer my children into the lion's mouth. I was not going to put them in the place where they were subjected to all of that, excuse the expression, garbage. If this was a Tuesday night, I'd say crap, but that's too strong right now, you see. But it's out there. And some of you don't necessarily appreciate the fact that we have the school and you take it for granted. And I'm sure that even those parents who send their children to the camp, well, they sent them because schools out and let's get rid of them for a week. And then even those that send them to the ranch, they're incorrigible. Let's dump them for a while. See if somebody else can straighten them out. Instead of realizing the privilege that such a place even exists. That we have such a place as Westside Private School. That we have such a place as Arizona Youth Camp, Arkansas Youth Camp, as well as Glenhaven Youth Ranch. And I better stop now because I got all four straight and I never get those straight. I'm camping when I should be ranching and I'm ranching when I should be youthing. I think some other people have gotten that mixed up too. But you see, when we run, we can rabbit through life and that's the way that goes. All right, so we have then, well, you know my feeling on that subject, and so you're totally relaxed with that regard, but people do get things mixed up or ixmup, or they do get their words twisted. Right, Tom. Some people have a sense of humor and others just wonder what's happening. Remember, there are three types of people in the church, those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, and those that say, what happened? Well, that Baptist thing went over well. Let me write that down. I've only said that twice now in 22 years, so I guess I can get by with it at least two or three more times. I was very glad to find some of your children. Didn't say all. I think we're naive if we think that every child or every person that ever comes under the sound of our ministry, and by the way, I'm going to include all of you in this because we all have a ministry. When we get to the point where we think that Brian and Bob and John and Dan and Lou and Sue and Moo and Foo and so on, those are Chinese missionaries. When we get to the point where we fail to recognize that everyone in life has a mission, we've lost the fulfillment of the purpose for which we've been left upon this earth. Yours may not be to sing. If I got up here and sung this morning, most of you would say, yeah, great, he's loud, but that's about it. And in some of those notes that he hits, I would have to have lost something to hit that note. A vocal cord here somewhere, or two. Let me try to hit it. See? And Bob and I were having fun harmonizing in the bass range. Everybody can't do what is seen in the public eye, but you're still there. You're still there. I never get the idea that because you are not in the marquee, or you're not on the bulletin, or you're not on the, or your name is not in print, that you don't matter. How many times have I told you repeatedly it's the invisible heroes, not the visible ones? Now, this week at camp, there are going to be a lot of visible heroes. Thank God for them. We need them. We've got to see them once in a while. I heard a joke last night, and I thought it was rather cute. I think it's applicable. This guy was joking about the fact that how naive can a government be when they hire a contract to make an airplane that no one can see? And so the contractor comes up and says, hey, if you want an airplane that no one can see, give me your $30 billion and I'll have it in about 30 minutes or more. And then he says, I'll meet you out in the field where that airplane that you will not be able to see will be. After you give me the $30 million, I will climb into that airplane that you cannot see, and when you get out there, you won't see me either, because I will be in the aircraft that you have bought that you cannot see. So now when we talk about invisible stuff, it's always good to know that there is something visible as an expression of what the invisible has done. For example, when our stealth bombers, if they are ever used, which are supposedly invisible to foreign or enemy radar, should drop a few of our choice warheads, we would see the reaction. I'm not suggesting, of course, that those of you that plan to serve in the Christian life carry grenades. And so when you are in the state of your invisible hero-ness, you lob a few so that they'll know you're around. No, but you do launch the missiles of life and the communication, and in some cases, it's a cluster of your life because it's a cross-section of that which you have to offer as a person to society. You all have that. Be challenged by that. I'd be thrilled as the pastor of this church to have anyone leave here and then hear 2 or 3 years down the road that they continued in the truth and that they have purpose and meaning and impact and the dynamic. And what I can say for Gene, I must add, of course, Dan and his not yet mature wife, Pat. Which is a kind of a joke of West Side people. But you'll have to wait, dear. I have now upgraded it to 60 years old. Not that I'm using use a measure necessarily. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received mandate, commandment, from the Father. There is nothing more pleasing to the Father than for him to look down and see that there has been a perpetuation of generations. A father in a family unit passing it down to its offspring. When there is a breakdown in that particular arrangement, remember that the way a family goes, a nation goes. So when there is a troubleshooting organization that is able to get into the breakdown of that family unit and analyze the problem and deal with it and send those children back as fit members of society, by all means, we pray for it. And if we are physically able, we financially support it. That's Glen Haven Youth Ranch. And Brian is sitting there saying, I didn't even know we had that much importance. I was glad to hear when I heard that some of your children were walking in truth as we have received mandate, commandment from the Father. These are direct orders from our Heavenly Father. It's just like the phone rings, yes? Pass this on, okay. Do you ever get a message and forget to pass it on? You feel crappy, don't you? Second time I use the word. You feel awful. You feel terrible. Especially when you see that person and they say, thank you so much for delivering that message. And you don't know whether it's sarcastic or whether it is caustic or whether it's just encouragement. Because you forgot. Many times John gets phone calls and some of you do the calling, Aaron. Of course, we protect the privacy of the priesthood here, Aaron. And Aaron even calls me while I'm taking my nap, and that always encourages me to answer the phone and say, what? Is John there? Who's this? Because I know he's not, because he would have answered the phone, unless he is taking his nap. And then he's completely and obviously oblivious as to what is going on in life. I'm not so fortunate to have that opportunity. I wake up with a fleas sitting on a pillow. Not that I have that problem. The Lord has given us commands. He said, look, Here's some information. Pass it on. When you teachers teach, what are you doing? You're getting information, you're passing it on. What are you doing as parents? You're getting that information, you're passing it on. Oh, what a privilege we have to be associated with an organization such as that. And then we have a privilege of being associated, in fact, as a part of the very structure of the Arizona Youth Camp. You can't imagine what it might take to change one life, but one life is changed out of 50, 65,000. Better one change than none because you didn't have it. You know, Paul was just one man. Camp, ranch, your influence may just open up a whole new life. I was telling Brian, I think I told him, I've told other people, sometimes I get my tellers mixed up, about a young lady who was attending one of our Bible classes that we used to have for our teenagers. And so she came up to me afterward and she said, I just want you to know this is the best class I've ever been to. And I said, by the way, I said, thank you. I said, out of curiosity, I said, how long have you been a believer? And she said, about 15 minutes. Suppose that class had not been. Suppose I said, oh, Friday nights, why should I bother with a bunch of teenagers and college-age students? They're just a pain in the you-know-what. They're so academically superior, and they think that the sun sets on their you-know-what. You got two you-know-whats there. Same you-know-whats, by the way. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received mandate to do. Is an interpolation, but I think it is bona fide from the original language, because God wants us to do. Too many of us that are just hearers but not doers. I appreciate when I see doers. Now, to encourage those of you that are going to be involved with the camp, this is the rah-rah, rally around the banner boys. Don't get discouraged. You see, you're not there to please the students or the children or your fellow worker. You're there to please the Lord. And so when things don't work out quite as smoothly as you would like them to, remember that, as Bob says, you are a part of the angelic conflict. Satan hates what's going on right now, especially what's going to happen beginning tomorrow. And when it's all said and done, and they're back here again and totally relaxed, and the blemishes have gone away, and the hives have left, and you cease to take the Rolaids because of the over-excretion of stomach acidity, maybe someday you'll look down the road and you'll be able to say, I was very glad to find that some of your children are walking in truth. Now, you can see why, after all that, this had nothing whatever to do with cosmic involvement. It certainly had nothing to do with moral or immoral degeneracy. And you say, well, when did you prepare all this? About 15 minutes ago. Let's pray. You're dismissed. Have a nice day. Pray for the campers. Pray for those who will be involved in the leadership, for the singers, for Gary Horton, for whoever. Even for those that are going to be transporting them. That's a ministry, and also you need a lot of patience. Little creatures mouthing all the way down there, you know. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity that has been ours again to share in the ministry of others and to be ministered to. We praise thee again for so great salvation, and we think if there be any here that have yet not ever accepted Christ as Savior, that this day will not go by until they recognize him as the only one in their life that is able to save them. Those of us who are totally aware of our so great salvation, remind us again that we are thy children, that we are under mandate. Remind us again that we have the privilege of serving the Almighty. Dismiss us now as we think on these things, for we ask in Christ's name, amen. We'll see you tonight.